Blog Talk Radio.
Gonna tell you a little bedtime tale, legend it will become. Burgers flying out the door, sail on. 2-for-1, no concern for the future, living for today. Fast food bite on your way, lay it all to waste. The masses are afflicted now. Moo, mad cow, mad cow. Mad cow line dance song.
Hey, Sungrang Nation, welcome to the show here on another Friday afternoon, the final one of 2017. QT and Sign Guy with you like usual. Some show notes really quick before we jump into the interview today. And if you're looking for some wrestling tonight, WCWO as usual at the Outlaw Arena in Indianapolis, Indiana. In our neck of the woods, 3-2-1 battle, having the annual pajama show. PAPW in East Haven, Connecticut, APW in Royston, Georgia, NAWC in Buxton, Maine, WTF in Carmel, Indiana, and PBW in Toledo, Ohio. Tomorrow night, Project 42, where you can find me in Seattle, Washington at El Corazon Nightclub, FCW in Haleyville, Alabama, All-Star Wrestling in Surrey, B.C., Smash Mouth Pro in Valparaiso, Indiana, HHCW in Pulaski, Illinois, TIW in Landsboro, Massachusetts, AIWF in Mount Airy, North Carolina, SPWA in Pocahontas, Tennessee, TASW in Cypress, Texas, and OTCW in Berkeley Springs, West Virginia. Without further ado, I'd like to welcome our guest onto the show today. He is out of the Midwest, veteran wrestler Tone C. Welcome to the show.
Guys, it's a pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Our pleasure to have you on the show. And since it's your first time with us today, we'll shoot you off with the first-timer's question. What led to you getting into the crazy business of professional wrestling?
To be honest with you, I had no aspirations of getting into this business whatsoever. I've been a fan since I was 3. When I got into it, there really wasn't any schools or any place to learn. Like, I never knew of any of that. So, I started out as security and ring crew, and I did that for 1.5 years. And the promoter gave me an opportunity to train with a couple guys that he brought in for the show. And I took my first back bump, and the guy who was showing me how to do it looked at me and said, "That wasn't supposed to look that good for your first time." And when I did that, I kind of told myself, "I can do this." And I just kind of pursued it from there, and my love for it grew, the art of performing, my love for that grew, and I've just stuck with it ever since. And quite honestly, I couldn't be happier that I did.
Now, when you got into professional wrestling, did you have any type of background that would help you out, such as any prior athletic training, any type of martial arts, or maybe a dramatic background, anything of that nature?
I had a football background. I was an athlete in high school. I didn't amateur wrestle, but I played basketball, I played baseball, and I played football. So being an athlete in high school helped me, but I was out of high school for about 3 years before I even got into the business. But I think all that, my high school athletics definitely helped when I got into the business.
One of the things that a lot of fans are going to associate with you, especially our Midwest fans, is that you are a member of the Elite, Could you tell us a little bit about how the Elite formed and how you've managed to stay together for so long?
Sure. So the Elite was born on, we made our debut at a show on December 31st, 2012. We started in a real small Fed in Elkhart, Indiana, who's no longer in business. And the group has gone a few changes since we started. The original two guys that were originally in the group are no longer in the group. Shortly before the group debuted, we actually eliminated a member and replaced him with the killer, Kevin Roberts. And probably about, I'm going to say a year and a half after the group debuted, the other member left, Kevin stayed, and then we added Hank Calhoun. And we've stayed together so long, honestly, because we're all on the same page. Like, we feed off of each other really, really good. Me and Hank, especially when we're tagging, like, we've got this crazy chemistry when we're in there. Like, he knows what I'm thinking, I know what he's thinking, and we just feed off of each other. And I mean, I think the chemistry that we have helps us as far as getting over with the crowd, which is a good testament to us as far as why we've been able to stay together so long.
Now, obviously, the nature of the Elite means there's going to be a lot of tag team matches, be it six-man or the more traditional four-man tag team matches. Do you personally have any type of preference on wrestling as a singles or wrestling in tag team matches?
I mean, as far as what you do to your body, I mean, anybody's going to say they prefer a six-man. You take less bumps that way. But for me, it's all storyline-driven. What am I doing? What's what are you wanting to do to tell this story? And I mean, from there, I kind of base it off of whether I do it singles or tags or we have a really good mix. There's some places that we strictly do six man tags. There's places that me and Hank exclusively tag, and there's a couple different places that push me as a singles wrestler. So it kind of depends. I'm all about the art and the story. So it just depends upon what the story is, honestly.
Now, when you are looking at a new promotion, one you haven't been to before, do you go into that promotion with the mindset of eventually wanting to have the rest of the Elite with you, or do you go in there and kind of gauge the situation before you would start talking to the other members of the Elite and or the promoter about making it a package?
When I usually go into a place for the first time, I usually want to get a feel for the promotion itself. Is the promoter professional in the ways of doing business is one of the big things I look for. And if it's a situation where it's a place that I wouldn't mind going back to, then obviously I bring them up. Those are in and out of the business. Those are two of the best friends I have, and Kevin and Hank. So I automatically always look out for them if it's a place I would not mind going back to. If it's a place that I have no interest in going back to, then obviously I'm not saying anything because they wouldn't have any interest in going there either. So, but luckily I don't really run into a lot of those places. So I'm always pushing to get them on with me. I really like the factor of I'm a big faction fan. I'm a big fan of factions, and what we do works, and it gets over really good with the fans. So I always want to go in with that group or gang mentality into a place that we work.
Now, one of the championships that you won was called the Ted Allen Memorial Championship. Ted Allen, of course, legend in the southeast part of the country, trained Arn Anderson, if I remember correctly. Can you tell us how it was you came to hold that championship and a little bit about what the promotion was doing when they created it?
Wow, I haven't been asked about that belt in a long time. You're good. that the Ted Allen belt was the same promotion that the Elite debuted in, was the same promotion that had the Ted Allen belt. The promoter was originally from Georgia, and from what I was told was a friend to Ted Allen. So he created this championship as a memorialization to him. He put it on another wrestler ahead of time, and I consider myself an old school guy, but with a mix of new school, and I stick pretty hard to my old school values. And the promoter likes that about me. I am a traditionalist in some senses. So he decided, because I'm that way, that he wanted to put the belt on me. And I took a great deal of pride in it. Probably not as much as the promoter, because I guess he was really tight with Mr. Allen, and obviously the guy's a legend in the Southeast for sure. But I held that belt for it's about a year and a half before the promoter finally had me drop it to somebody. But it was a good run with that belt for sure.
Now, when you first won the belt, did you get a sense that a lot of fans would know Ted Allen, or was it something that didn't really register with the audience that you were catering to at the time? Did they seem to get a little more as time went by?
I'm going to sound like I'm really putting myself over here, and that's not made to be that way. But I think the fact that he ran that belt in Indiana, there was a lot of fans that didn't know who Ted Allen was. We had a pretty loyal fan base, so I'm sure there was some of them that did. But honestly, I think the fact that they really went old school when they put that belt on me, because I had it for a year and a half, and I was able to establish myself as well as the belt. So by the time my run with that belt ended, I truly believe that the fans viewed that belt as the top belt there. Maybe not because of Ted Allen's name. Maybe so. I don't know. I would assume not, though. Honestly, I think that it was just because of I had a great, great run there. And I think that the fans kind of viewed that as a top belt because I was one of the top guys there.
Now, you referenced this a little bit earlier, but you are known in some promotions as a guy that will do some hardcore wrestling. You've done a lot of stipulation matches that induce a lot of bleeding in the course of the match and so forth and so on. What's your thoughts on hardcore wrestling as it relates to 2017?
I think that if the story is right, then the hardcore match has a place. I think to have a death match or a hardcore match just to have it is stupid. And I know there's a lot of promotions that do it, and to each their own. I'm nobody to judge anybody, but for me, I don't see the point unless you're building to that in a story. Like I view this as such an art form that it's insane to me to have a match like that just to have it. It doesn't make any sense to me. I've done the hardcore thing, but I actually did a Taipei death match at the end of 2012 with a former guest of yours, Chief Fatakula Kula, and it was a bloodbath, but we told a story. We had a series of matches and told this story to the audience and all of that. And we built to that. So if there's a build to it, I'm fine with it. But just to do it doesn't make any sense to me whatsoever.
Now, you mentioned being a bit of a traditionalist and so forth. I know a lot of wrestlers in years gone by had very particular rituals that they would do to prepare for a match. Some of them had to get dressed in a certain way each time. Some people had rituals with their athletic tape that they did every time. Do you have any particular rituals that you have to do in order to be ready to go to the ring?
Not really. I get changed the exact same way every time. Like my right knee pad will go on before my left knee pad. My right shoe goes on before my left shoe. Stuff like that. My right kick pad goes on before my left kick pad. Little stuff like that. Like I get dressed the same way, but I've just been doing it for that way for 16 years. So I wouldn't really say that I have any rituals by any means. Like I try to get myself into that zone. But honestly, it's never really hard. Once I hear the crowd and, you know, if they're supposed to cheer me, I hear that pop. And if they're supposed to boo us, which I love, then, you know, I can just go into that mode. So.
Up here in our neck of the woods in the Pacific Northwest, a lot of wrestlers have gotten into drinking teas after matches as sort of an antioxidant after they've finished their match to try to cool down and so forth. Have you picked up any tea drinking that has been going on out in the Midwest in the last several months?
That is the first I have even heard about that. But in my defense, I'm a little bit of a loner, and I don't really I don't really hear too much. But actually, that's pretty interesting. I'd probably read up more on that. The older I get, the more I'm trying to take care of myself a little bit better, so I can go for a lot longer than a lot of guys go around here.
Very wise strategy. Well, at this point in time, my co-host QT is standing by, and I know that QT has some questions also, so I'm going to pass things along to him.
Awesome.
Well, thank you, Sun Guy. Hello, Mr. C.
Hello. How are you, sir?
Oh, I'm very good, very good. Looking forward to the new year, yes.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Let's get 2017 over with.
Oh, I hear that. Yes. 2017 was it wasn't a sunny year or a deeply overcast year. It was just kind of like a gray mist year.
Sure. Sure. There you go.
Well, Mr. C, we usually start out our second half of the show by asking our standard question. What is the hardest knife edge chop you have received, and was it from a female wrestler?
Oh, wow. That is a really good question. The hardest chop I have ever taken. The hardest chop I have ever taken was at a place called WCWO in Indianapolis. They've been around a long time. I was in the ring with me and Hank were tagging against the Bomb Shelter, and Mr. Schwartz, formerly known as the Hebrew Hammer, decided to hit me with a chop, and man, it was really good. And then of course the fans had to chant one more time, and I was like, no, not one more time. And he leaned in my ear and he says, sorry, buddy. And he gave it one more time, and I had some nice welts for probably a couple weeks after that.
Wow. Okay. Did it felt like you hit me with a concrete bagel?
You know what? It happened so fast, I don't even remember what it felt like. All I know is it really hurt. It hurt.
Oh boy. Okay. All right. Well, have you had a chance to wrestle any females or tag team with them? And did they give you a knife edge chop?
I don't think I've ever been chopped by a female, to be honest with you. Not that I can recall. I have tagged with females before in matches, but I don't think I've ever taken a chop from them.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay. Well, Mr. C, have you ever wrestled a wrestler named Madman Pondo?
I have not, but I've had the privilege of being on a lot of cards with him.
Oh, okay. All right. Your impressions of Madman Pondo from afar?
I think that he's a great guy. He's a legend in some aspects in this business and some communities in this business. But he's a really nice guy. Like, I've never had any issues with Pondo at all. He's always treated me really nice on shows.
Oh, okay. All right. Very well said. Okay. Well, Mr. C, I saw your YouTube video entitled The Chief versus Tone C, and this took place in Elkhart, Indiana on September 1st of 2012. The ring announcer said you were from Green Bay, Wisconsin. My question is, did you grow up in Green Bay, Wisconsin, and did you go to a high school in the city?
There were three different states that I kind of grew up in. I did a lot of hopping around. I had family that lived in Michigan. I had family that lived in the city that I currently live in, and I had family that lived in Green Bay. High school was the area I live in now, and I've been here ever since. Green Bay, I was there for probably about 7 or 8 years old. I have lived in the area I live in currently longer than anywhere, but I'm also a big sports nut and a Green Bay Packers fan. So for gimmick purposes and for my own ego purposes, I tell people that I'm from Green Bay, Wisconsin.
Wow. All right. Okay. Very good. What was the coldest temperature you had ever experienced in Green Bay that you can remember?
Oh, we had one winter day. It got down to, I believe it was 14 below zero without the wind chill. I think with the wind chill, it was like 18 below or something like that. It was ridiculous. Ridiculously cold.
Wow. Holy smokes. Well, they call, I believe now, International Falls in Minnesota, the icebox of the United States. And they recently got down to 37 below, which shattered a record for the day of 32 below.
Yeah, they can have that. They can keep that. It's cold. It's cold where I live now, but it's nowhere near that bad. They can keep that.
Even Rocky Balboa would not go into a freezer that cold and punch something.
There you go. There you go. If Rocky won't do it, I won't do it. So, yeah.
Oh, okay. Now, have you ever been to Travis City, Michigan, home to a large Coast Guard base? Travis City, Michigan.
Traverse City, Michigan? Is that what you said?
Yes, Traverse City, Michigan.
Yeah, I've been up to Traverse City quite a few times, actually. It's been probably about 4 or 5 years since I've been up there, but I used to go up there quite a bit.
Oh, okay. All right. Now, since you're from Green Bay, Wisconsin, did you ever run into superstar wrestler Mr. Kennedy?
No, I had the opportunity to be on one show with him, though. Probably about, 3 years ago? 4 years ago? Something like that. I had the opportunity to be on a show with him, but I shook his hand, I said hello, and that was about as far as we got that night.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay. Now, if we could expand a little bit into your sports in high school, did you turn out for the wrestling team? And if so, did you go all 4 years?
I wrestled my I wrestled my freshman year in high school, and that was the only year that I wrestled in high school. I had a family member that got really sick, so I actually couldn't wrestle my second year, and my third year my mother got sick, so it just never worked out for me in wrestling. But I did 3 years of football, I did 3 years of basketball, and I did 2 years of baseball at my high school.
Oh, wow. Okay. What position did you play in high school baseball? Were you I'm going to guess third base.
No, definitely not third base. I was right field and catcher.
Oh, all right. Right field and catcher. Okay. Now, did you hit any home runs in high school or the rarer triple?
I had, I never hit a triple. I did, however, hit my junior year. I actually hit four home runs, I believe. Five, something like that.
Oh, not bad. Okay. All right. I'm going to guess in your freshman year of high school, you were in 182-pound class in wrestling.
Actually, no. I was a big boy in my freshman year in high school. I weighed 245 pounds my freshman year in high school. And my freshman year to sophomore year, I played basketball every day. And by the time we went back to school for my sophomore year, I weighed 185 pounds.
Oh, okay. So you trimmed down quite a bit.
Yeah, I played basketball like 10 hours a day to trim down all summer.
Ooh, how was your three-point shot?
I'm better at passing the ball than I am at shooting it. But I can play some pretty decent defense too.
Oh, okay. So your assist total in high school was probably pretty good.
I led the team in assists. I played my sophomore and junior year basketball, and I led the team in assists both years.
Now, what did you think of all-time assist leader John Stockton getting 14,000 assists for his NBA career? 14,000.
John Stockton is the greatest point guard ever, in my personal opinion. I'm a big fan of that guy. I'm a real big team guy, so I would rather pass it than shoot it myself any day of the week. I think to amass that many assists in the NBA, nonetheless, is a ridiculous feat.
Would you agree it's like Joe DiMaggio's 56-game hitting streak?
I would say no, just from the simple fact that in my lifetime, I've seen that assist record broken twice. I remember when Magic Johnson originally got it, and then somebody else got it, and then Stockton took it from them. That 56-game hitting streak, I've never seen anybody break it so far in my lifetime. So I would have to say no. But it's a good argument, though. It's a very good argument.
Wow, okay. All right. Well, Mr. C, I was very excited to see your entrance in the match in Elkhart against Chief Attakulakula, my eye was what appears to be a plywood ramp leading from the curtain to the ring. It's long enough to get ahead of steam if a wrestler were to approach at a fast jog or slow run. My point is, Mr. C, I have been talking to promoters all over the Northwest of combining track and field with wrestling. Would you yourself agree with the statement that the turnbuckle posts and the ring ropes provide a natural track and field set of standards and high jump bar?
Wow. I've never had anybody ask me that. I see where you're coming from. I see where you're coming from. You ain't going to get this old man to do any high jumps over ropes. I can promise you that. But I see where you're coming from. I see the idea. I can see it.
Well, if you flashed back to 2012, you went back to Elkhart on that card, do you think you could clear the top rope that appears to be around the height of 5'6" because it comes up to just below the announcer's left shoulder? Do you think you could have cleared the top rope?
Oh, man. Wow. Well, marriage fattened me up a little bit, and I'm actually about 70 pounds lighter than I was in that match now, currently. Maybe. I mean, I've always been a pretty good athlete, but I was pretty heavy back then. Now, yeah, I could. Then, I don't know. Maybe. I never tried, to be honest with you.
Oh, okay. I'm just glad to see that they have finally incorporated my ideas of a plywood ramp. Well, they wouldn't have back then because I wasn't, you know, promoting it. But, okay. All right.
Yeah, that ramp was all plywood, the whole ramp. It was all plywood. I helped build that ramp, actually.
Oh, well, now you see, if you coated the top of that plywood ramp with shredded rubber, like shredded car tires, that would kind of support track and wrestling shoes, a hybrid.
Yeah.
I'm very excited.
Well, yeah. All right, then. I see where you're going.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, Mr. C., you came into the match with a clean-shaven dome. I was reminded of other athletes with clean-shaven heads, like Ernie Shavers, the boxer, and perhaps Dave Haverlow, who pitched for the Seattle Mariners in the late 70s and whom they nicknamed Beldar, who was one of the Coneheads on Saturday Night Live. My question is, do you remember Dan Aykroyd and Jane Curtin as Coneheads?
I absolutely do. I remember the movie, too.
Oh, good. You saw the movie. Okay, very good. All right. Okay. Well, who was your favorite Conehead, Jane Curtin or Dan Aykroyd? That's what I'm getting at.
Oh, man. That's a really good one. I'd probably go Aykroyd, but I think they had really good chemistry together. They fed off each other really well. I thought they were both great.
Okay. Did you happen to see the one where legendary guitarist and some say the godfather and original punk rocker Frank Zappa appeared on a Conehead segment? Frank Zappa.
I remember that vaguely, yes. I do remember that vaguely.
Oh, okay. Well, it's your homework assignment to go on YouTube and look up Frank Zappa and the Coneheads.
I will. I absolutely will.
Oh, okay. Boy, that's very good. You show enthusiasm there. Okay. Well, Mr. C., we were supposed to have on a wrestler today who lives in Eastern Kentucky and wrestles for the Smoky Mountain League. He is called the Progressive Liberal, and he has a finishing move called the Liberal Agenda. Can I ask what your finishing move is, and are there any truths to the rumors out of Shelton, Washington, that it is called the Conservative Filibuster?
That is a negative. I have heard of that Progressive Liberal guy. I've never met him, but I've heard of him. And my finishing move is called the C-note. It is a double underhook DDT. I wanted to use a DDT as a finisher because, as I said before, I'm a traditionalist and I hate the fact that people use DDTs and they kick out at one on them or kick out at all. So I wanted to use a DDT as my finisher.
Oh, I see. Okay. What is the success rate of anyone kicking out of the C note? It must be pretty low.
Unless it's a finale to a great told story, no one kicks out of it.
Oh, okay. All right. Wow, okay. Well, Mr. C., do you think that the tag team you are part of, the Elite, have subconsciously incorporated into your style the tag team tactics of, say, the Harlem Heat, the Natural Disasters, or perhaps the Spirit Squad?
Definitely not the Spirit Squad. The Natural Disasters, I would probably have to say more Harlem Heat than anybody. We especially when we're heels on a show, we like to play the thug card, dirty, dastardly deeds kind of stuff. Like we Harlem Heat, definitely out of those three, for sure.
Oh, okay, all right, a little bit of thuggish. Okay, maybe a little bit of Crime Time, that tag team.
Yeah, absolutely. Crime Time and Harlem Heat, I mean, obviously they had different levels of success, but gimmick-wise, they're a lot alike. So, yeah, I would say, for sure.
Wow, all right. Well, as you know, the Hart Foundation had a mascot in Matilda the Bulldog. In 2018, is the Elite themselves going to look for a mascot? And if so, what would that mascot be? Maybe a parrot?
You know what's funny is we have actually talked about doing a mascot, but nobody has come up with a good enough idea yet, including myself. So we've talked about it, but we haven't found anything that – we've talked about maybe like a valet that would probably fit the gimmick. But as far as like a mascot goes, we've thrown around the idea, but it's always been in like a joking type manner.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, perhaps for that'll be one of Turnbuckle Turmoil's assignment in 2018. Both Sign Guy and I will try to come up with several good mascot ideas for the Elite.
Hey, there you go. I'm open to suggestions always. Absolutely.
Oh, okay. Very good. All right. Well, Mr. C, on that 2012 match in Elkhart, Indiana, against Chief Attacula, to your recollection, was this the first time you had wrestled him? And if so, what was your first impressions of his bright red mohawk?
Well, actually, his mohawk is pink.
Okay.
It was not that match that's on YouTube. That was not the first time I had wrestled him. That was the first Taipei death match. First and only Taipei death match we've ever done. But that was the fourth time that I had wrestled him. We did some tag matches and stuff to build up to that match. So my first impression of working with him was phenomenal. I was like a kid in the candy store. He called the entire match, and all I had to do was sell. Like it was, I just let him take the lead and do whatever he wanted to do, and that's exactly what he did. And I just followed his lead. It was great. He wasn't too stiff. He wasn't light. He was just snug, and I had a lot of fun working with Chief. I still talk to him on Facebook every now and then and hound him about doing another one.
Oh, well, you'll have to tell him that Turnbuckle Turmoil says hi. And we hope to see him in action at Blue Collar Wrestling, like Sign Guy and myself have seen him on several occasions.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I actually I married him and his wife, Bonnie. In Iowa, like three years ago. Yep.
Wow, that's very impressive. Okay. Wow. We don't really meet too many wrestlers that have a Justice of the Peace license. Very nice.
I got it as a joke, honestly. Some friends were talking about doing it, and I went and got it as a joke. And like a year later, I got a phone call, and it was somebody I knew gave them my number, and they asked me to marry them. And I was like, are you paying me? And they're like, yeah. And I said, where's the wedding? They told me where the wedding was. I said, this is how much I'm going to charge you. She said, okay. And I've been doing it ever since. So.
Oh, wow. Okay. No, that's very, very nice. Okay. Well, Mr. C, the progressive liberal has kneecap pads that bear the Democratic donkey. Would it be safe to say that in the near future that you will be planning on wearing the Republican elephant knee pads since you're from the Republican state of Wisconsin?
Absolutely not. I politics or something that I'm very dumb about. But I can tell you that I am not a Republican or a Democrat. So that will not be happening. No political attire for our gimmick. Absolutely not. Absolutely not.
Oh, all right. You're going to stick with the Harlem Heat independent type thing. Yes.
Yes, 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 yes.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, Mr. C, what injury would you fear most among these injuries? A pulled hamstring, torn retina, torn hamstring. Oh, I already said torn hamstring. Okay, torn hamstring, concussion, or a torn rotator cuff.
What was the second one again? A torn retina?
Torn retina.
So I've had a torn hamstring. I've had multiple concussions. Gosh, probably a retina, I guess. That's a tough one between that and a torn rotator cuff.
Yes, a torn retina, like from an eye poke. Roddy Piper was pretty for his eye pokes.
Yeah. Oh, yes. Roddy Piper is the sole reason I even became a wrestling fan. So Roddy Piper is like a god in my eyes, for sure.
Oh, now what were some of the earliest matches that you can remember with the bagpipe player?
I still remember the very first match I saw. It's the only memory I have from being 3 years old. I was sitting on my dad's knee, and it was a steel cage match, and it was Roddy Piper versus someone, and I don't even remember who that someone was. I want to say it was Jimmy Snuka, but I could be wrong about that. And there was blood everywhere, and my dad was all excited, and I was hooked from the start. That was 3 years old. And then, of course, the, you know, who can forget all the Piper's Pits? Those were, like, the greatest thing ever. I tuned in every time they announced the Piper's Pit, so for sure.
Well, one of my favorites – Roddy Piper segments was when he was in the ring with Ace the Bodyguard and Roddy Piper, and Ace was inching toward him. So Paul Orndorff said, "Stay," and he Ace immediately froze, and he said to Piper, "Sit," and Piper immediately sat on his.
I remember that. Yeah, I absolutely yes, I remember that.
Yes, Paul Orndorff, there's one wrestler I would never get into the ring with. Do you know he played football, I believe, at Florida State? Yes.
Who's that? Who's that?
Paul Orndorff.
Paul Orndorff played at Florida State?
Well, he did play for a Florida college. I'm not sure if it was Florida State, but he was a legitimately tough guy. Yes.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I've heard stories about what a tough guy he was. I don't know. I don't think it was Florida State. Florida State's actually my favorite college team. So I don't think it was that. I don't think it was Florida State. It might have been like Miami or the University of Florida or something like that.
Oh, okay. Well, I myself will have my homework assignment to look up exactly what college played for. Yes.
You watch. I'm going to look like an idiot, and he went to Florida State, and I didn't even know it. That's what's going to happen.
Well, I know that The Rock played briefly for Miami, the Hurricanes.
Yes, Dwayne Johnson. Yep.
Okay. Yes. All right. Well, Mr. C, we have a wrestler out here, Buddy Highway, who has incorporated powerlifting into his routines, and he has become like the second ranked powerlifter in the state of Oregon. Do you yourself use powerlifting as part of your conditioning?
No, I'm more of a, I like the old school military type workouts. Mondays are my chest day, so I push-ups like all day. Every time I get a spare second, I drop down. I do push-ups. My leg days, I do a lot of squats and running and all that stuff. I don't use many weights. for when I'm working my arms, shoulders, and biceps, I usually use a good resistance band that I have. But other than that, it's all military. I don't really use a lot of weights.
Okay. All right. Very interesting. Okay. All right. Well, at this time, I am going to turn it back over to Sign Guy, and I do wish you luck in your Frank Zappa Conehead assignment.
Very much so. You as well with your Paul Orndorff research.
Oh, yes. I'll get on that very quickly. Yeah. Back to
Thank you, QT. Well, Tonesy, one of the more important things that a wrestler owns would be boots. A lot of wrestlers spend a lot of money on boots. It's something that you want to last for a long time because they are costly in a lot of instances. Are you a big proponent of the custom wrestling boots, and what do you look for when you're in the market for boots?
Well, I will be honest with you. I own a pair of boots, but I hate wearing them. I am a kick pad and wrestling shoes guy, and I realize there's a lot of people who throw the backyard tag out there when you mention that. But for me, like, if I'm not comfortable with what I'm doing, I am a miserable person to be around. And I am comfortable in wrestling shoes and kick pads. I have regular gear. I'm just more comfortable. I move better. If it's a big match and I need to do like a high spot off of a rope or something, I can get to the ropes a lot easier, up them, down them. I just move so much better in my shoes versus my boots. So I'm not really much of a boot proponent.
Fair enough. Now, a lot of wrestlers, when they have been in the business for a while, take to the role of trainer / mentor, and they help the next generation of wrestlers that are trying to get their start. Have you trained very many guys at this point in your career personally, or at least assisted in the training of some of the newer kids?
I have assisted in many of the local guys here in the area that I'm at. I wouldn't necessarily say that I've been anybody's head trainer, but I've had a hand in quite a few guys. A very small hand in some of them and somewhat of a larger role in others. Big Russ Jones is a guy that just is killing it here. I had a very, very small hand in his training. Scotty Young is another guy that is a really good worker here in the Midwest. I wrestled him in his very first match. We've got guys that are actually beneath them that are coming up. There's a kid by the name of Tyler Matthews who, I've had a pretty good deal of, investment in as far as training and working with him on psychology and stuff. And he's killing it here right now. I help a Fed. There's a Fed in the area here called EHF. They're actually running a show next month. And their training sessions, I am actually their head trainer. I come out with them. It's during the nicer weather. It's once a week that I work with them. And so, yeah, there's a lot of guys that I've helped but had a hand, not a major hand, but a small hand nonetheless, and quite a few guys around here.
Well, I would like to confirm something QT was working on. Paul Orndorff played for the University of Tampa.
Yes, I was right. Nice. I was right. I thought, man, I'm going to feel like a real big idiot. I've been a Florida State fan since I was like 8 years old. I'm like, I'm going to feel like a real idiot if I get this wrong.
Nope, just QT feeling like an idiot for, going down the Florida State path.
As long as it's not me, brother. As long as it's not me.
Come on.
Well, at this point, we have a game we like to play on this show. We call it Word Association. I'll throw out the names of some people that you likely have come across in your career, and the first word or two that pops into your mind to describe them is the answer. Are you prepared for a round of Word Association?
Bring it on.
All right. The first one, Chief Attacula-Kula.
Teacher.
Hank Calhoun.
Brother.
Cameron Starr.
Better than most people give her credit for.
Bobo Brazil Jr.
Wicked Chop.
Evan O'Leary.
Evan O'Leary?
Yes.
Needs to take this more seriously.
Greg Lake.
Who?
Greg Lake, the referee.
Oh, nice guy. Nice guy.
JKO.
Oh, man. Indiana legend. Great guy.
Iceman Ronnie Vegas.
Local legend.
Dick the Bruiser Jr.
Nice person. Complimented me on one of my matches one time. I haven't had much interaction with him, but the little I have has been great.
And the final one, Randy West.
Oh, man. The toughest broad in wrestling. There you go, I guess. She's awesome. I love Randy to death. I've known Randy for quite a few years.
How about Cousin Cooter?
A blast. There you go. Let's go with that one. A blast.
Well, Tone C, I know that a lot of wrestlers have had the goal of getting to Japan at some point in their career. A lot of independent wrestlers in the last several months have been making their way over there. We've seen a lot of people on the independent scene get the opportunity to wrestle in Japan. Is Japan something that has ever been on your radar as far as goals in your career?
To be honest, yes, but not until probably within the last 5 years, I'd say. When I first got into this, I had two awesome trainers. They were great guys, but they didn't go anywhere. They didn't do anything. They were, you know, not to be mean, but they were nobodies. So I hadn't gotten all the training I needed before I started doing shows. So for the longest time, it was just fun for me. Once I started actually taking it seriously, Japan was something that I was like, man, that'd be pretty sweet. And to be honest with you, yeah, it'd be great. At the point I am in my life now with my family and my business adventures outside of wrestling, it would make it really hard for me to go. But financially, if we could make it work out and all that, I'd be all about it for sure. That's a once-in-a-lifetime experience.
Well, we have a few minutes left in the show, and I want to give you ample time. So if there's anything you would like to say to the listeners, plug and promote, anything and everything, from your social medias to your upcoming appearances to merchandise to your favorite steakhouse, anything in the world you want, floor is all yours.
All right, thank you. Okay, so social media is I am on Twitter, at ToneC69. I am on Instagram, at ToneC69. I am at Facebook under Tony Hardy. There is an Elite like page on Facebook. You can go like that. That would be great. The other two guys in the group, I'll plug their stuff too, and they'll pay me later, I guess. Hank Calhoun is at Jeremy Perry on Facebook. He is at Hank Calhoun on Twitter. And Kevin Roberts is on Facebook at Kevin Roberts. Let's see. Upcoming shows, we have one in South Bend, Indiana for EHF on January 20th. And then February 3rd, we are at Marion, Indiana for ICW. We're the tag champs down there. We'll be taking on the Tribe. Let's see. And then I actually am off until March when we are going to Tennessee to do a show. Unfortunately, I haven't got the name of the Fed or whatever, but I'll make sure I plug it on all my social media. That's about all I can think of. Oh, I'm sorry, merch. Merch and booking info is at BookTheNewClick, click is with a Q, at gmail.com. Merchandise, we have shirts available for purchase. I am actually working on getting hoodies right now as we speak. So any merch inquiries, just use the email address for right now.
All right. Well, it sounds like the Elite going to go into 2018 strong, and I wish all of you the best. Hopefully I will come across you guys in the not-so-distant future. It's been a while since I come across any members of the Elite. And, fans, if you get the chance to see Tone C or any members of the Elite, definitely go out there and get yourself a ticket to watch them. Tremendous group of wrestlers. And Tone C, are you still performing weddings?
Yes, I am. I am. I just did one a couple months ago, and right now I've got nothing booked. But it's usually that way around the holidays. So.
Well, I also am fully licensed to perform weddings. Imagine the joy in people's lives if you and I were to co-perform a wedding together.
Yes. That is the greatest idea ever, right there. Indeed. You probably got more connections than I do, brother. You need to get somebody to book that. I'm all about that. That'd be awesome.
I'm going to call Granted. He's the next guy I have on my books to marry. He's a mass wrestler
nice.
Up here in the Pacific Northwest. Maybe he'll go for this tag team idea.
Dude, I need to go out to the Pacific Northwest. Like, we can kill two birds with one stone and just make this happen. You got to make this happen, though. It's on you.
I will give it a shot.
Hey, man, thank you a lot for having me on. I had a great time. You guys got a really cool podcast.
We appreciate that, and I want to thank you very much for being on today, taking time out of your Friday afternoon to be with us. Fans, we'll be back with you Sunday afternoon. We have Scott Bowden, former Memphis manager and referee. He's also the co-host of his own podcast, Kentucky Fried Wrestling, which features the old Memphis territory days. Very interesting show. We'll have Scott on Sunday. Get out there, support your local independent wrestling wherever it may be. You can catch me at El Corazon Nightclub tomorrow night for Project 42, my last show of 2017. I believe the last one in the Pacific Northwest, as a matter of fact. So get out there, support that. Find some wrestling wherever it might be close to you. And we will be back with you Sunday.
Once a minute, Glenn, you smoke like your grandmother.
You underneath your down, a desolated view. A shot of fireball was reaching.
We're good.